is exciting. Welcome one, welcome all to the Stone Age Gamer Podcast. I am Dean DeFalco, and with me tonight is Dan Ryan.
Good evening, everyone, and Dean.
And me. I will be your host for this evening, and unfortunately, I will do a much sloppier job at throwing us into intros and stuff than Chris. But check us out now, live on the Stone Age Gamer. Welcome back to the Stone Age Gamer podcast.
That was so close to being accurate to what Chris does.
Yeah. I'm trying.
It was almost exact.
Okay. All right. So, so guys, tonight we're going to do something special. Not only are we going to talk about E3 Mighty Number 9, we're also going to be playing Puzzles and Dragons at the same time.
One of these days, you are going to say the name of this game right.
Puzzle and Dragons.
And it's going to be awesome. I'm really excited about it.
One puzzle, many dragons. Got it. It's like two girls, one cup.
One puzzle. But very, very different.
Yeah, totally. Totally sounds different. I got it, man. I got it. So,
Can I interject here for just one moment, Dean?
Yeah, totally.
That is a dope fucking hat.
Thank you. Actually, I'll be wearing this to Too Many Games, which will be
When is Too Many Games, Dean?
It's Friday through Sunday this weekend, so that would be the 24th to the 26th. Now, not only will I be there, our lovely host Chris will be there, and Dan, I believe Yoli's also be there for our great panel, which is buy something, will ya?
I believe I will be.
Yes. Yeah, I hope so. Otherwise, it's going to be me and Chris, and that'll be way more boring.
Certainly will.
But Dan, before we get started with our Puzzle and Dragon stuff and E3 and all that, I wanted to show you my stylus. Look at this sucker.
Ooh.
Yeah, you see that?
That's
man?
Very nice.
You
that's
like that?
That's like professional, man.
Yeah. I forgot where I got this. I got it at Staples. It was on clearance. It was like $12, and I was like, you know what? I could use it for drawing. I've used it for drawing twice. I've used it a lot for Puzzles and Dragons, though, after you were like, I should try a stylus. And I'm like, oh, well, yeah, I'm going to try stylus now. So, yeah, it works pretty good. I'm pretty happy with it. But
Has it made all the difference in the world to you? Because the one I have is kind of shit. And, like, it was one of those, like, cheap, it looks like a pen, and it has, like, the rubber nub on the bottom of it.
Does it have, like, a large nub on the bottom, or is it, like, an actual big thing on the bottom?
It's not very big. It's kind of a squishy nub.
Yeah,
I don't care
squishy
for it.
Nub. I'm gonna name a band Squishy Nub.
I don't love it. So.
Dan, before we jump into this, why don't you tell people what we're going to be doing tonight, besides talking about video game stuff, obviously.
Well, we have as of today, the day we're recording, the 22nd of June, Puzzle and Dragons just released a huge update to the way their multiplayer component works. Previously to this, there was a set number of dungeons that you could jump into multiplayer if you were rank 150 or higher. You had to be rank 150 in order to start the multiplayer dungeon. With today's update, every dungeon that is available as either a limited time dungeon or a daily dungeon or the descends, all of that stuff, can now be done multiplayer. The only exception to it are the one-time dungeons. So, for example, every now and again, they during an event in Puzzle and Dragons to experience points to rank up, they do the experience of a lifetime, and you get like 200,000 experience points or something like that. So you can't game the system that way. Like, Dean couldn't run it with me, and then I couldn't run it with Dean. You can't do the one-time-only dungeons. Other than that, though, pretty much everything is open, which really makes this game a lot more accessible for people who are early game as opposed to mid-game or late game or, you know, very end game. Like, I'm still not great at this game. I'm pretty good. I've gotten through a lot of content. But then I try to jump into Arena, and I just fucking get destroyed. Like, that. I do not have an arena-capable team yet. However, I could jump in now with somebody else and have them carry me a little bit through arena. Conversely to that, I could jump and help out, like, our good buddy, friend of the show, and co-host on the Paper Cuts podcast, which you can catch right here every Monday on geekade.com.
Very nice, Dan.
Matt Much, he is still very early game in Puzzle and Dragons. And now I would be able to jump in and help him out through a lot of other content that will help him get up to speed a little bit more quickly. So it's a pretty huge deal. Plus, we also got Awoken DQXQ today, which is 100 times multiplier or multiplier, which is pretty insane. So I'm maybe going to work on that team eventually.
Eventually.
But for us right now, we're going to jump in and try this Mech Dragon's Massive Fortress. I have no idea what we're about to jump into. I have not, for the sake of honesty on a stream, I have not looked at what is coming up, which is probably stupid. But we're going to find out.
Which is complete and utter failure.
It really is.
All right. So let's get away from that a little bit. So we're going to start this dungeon up, but we are going to be talking about, I guess our first topic should be Mighty No. 9, because the game just came out, and that's probably the most pertinent news that we have. So now, Dan, did you back Mighty No. 9 when it came out?
I did not. I wanted to, but just at the time it came out, it just didn't. I didn't have the extra cash to really throw towards it. And it's kind of looking like that was the smart play, because, oh boy, is that game getting absolutely crushed
right on
social media, on actual like game review media, like pretty much everywhere. That game is getting fucking destroyed.
Now, personally, I don't. Okay, so Mighty No. 9 was one of the first big games on Kickstarter that was actually successfully kickstarted. Now, I don't particularly think that it deserves maybe all the harsh review it's getting. However, a lot of people are saying that they just copied the Mega Man formula and that was it. Like, they just kind of went with it and...
Well, is that not what people expected from a KJ Inafune game? Like, this is like the creator and the guider of Mega Man for so long. Of course that's what he was going to do. Like, that's comfort food when you're jumping out on your own as a developer. I mean, one of the things that I've seen, like, he came out, Inafune did an interview, and he said, like, yeah, there's some problems, and I totally own up to them. And I think one of the big things that he pointed out that maybe a lot of people don't realize is that when Capcom was making Mega Man games, they were making it for a platform. And then there was a studio or another team that was developing all the ports for it. It wasn't Inafune's team doing 10 different versions of Mega Man.
Right.
And for Mighty No. 9, they ended up doing
everything,
pretty much 10 versions of this game at the same time. And he came out and was like, maybe that wasn't the smartest idea. So... I think he was right. Maybe developing 10 different versions of one game, not the best way to go about your business plan.
No, you're right. So let me ask you another question. There are other games coming out that are planned to be just as big. One of them being the Capcom, not the Capcom, the Konami Titan, the Castlevania successor is Bloodstained. Do you think the same thing is going to happen here, or do you think, because that one was a lot more successfully funded than Mighty No. 9, do you think the same problem's going to happen, or do you think that it's a more focused team that'll be able to get this through?
Honestly, I think Igarashi, who is guiding Bloodstained, I think he is a better developer than Inafune, and I don't say that to like disparage him, but I think the Castlevania games were more well-made than the Mega Man games. The Mega Man formula is pretty simple. You have robot masters and some stages that you go through, and you basically just have to figure out what weapon is going to defeat what boss. Who do you beat first with the Mega Buster? And then there you go. The stages themselves, you're not going through this big labyrinth of a castle to find secret paths and shit. Like, there's just a lot more in a Castlevania game. So because of that, I think perhaps, and I could be wrong here, But I think that this game is in better stewardship, as it were. So I'm not as concerned with Bloodstained as I was with Mighty No. 9.
Totally understandable. I mean, I'm kind of right there with you right now because I've been reading a lot of stuff since this came out because I was first to jump on the Mighty No. 9 bandwagon. I was like, oh man, you know, if I'm not going to get Mega Man one way, I'll get it this way. I haven't even installed it yet because I just straight up haven't had the time. And I'm incredibly discouraged now because of all the flack it's getting.
All the negative reviews.
Right, whether it's deserved or not. But
you should pop an active here and make some green orbs before we die on the first dungeon we do.
Okay.
I don't know if we're going to, but
I'll do my best. Okay, let's see what we got.
Like you and pop my best at too while you're at it.
I'll pop a lock.
Okay. All right, fair enough. I think one of the other things too, like, and that's kind of sad that you haven't even installed the game yet, but I think one of the other problems that Mighty No. 9 ran into was that they made that a franchise before the game was even done. Like, there was a cartoon and multiple versions and, like, action figures and downloadable content. And, like, all this stuff was planned. It's like, hey, you guys got to make a game first.
I feel the funniest thing that came out of this was they made a... I'm not going to say they made it, but someone made a downloadable game called Mighty...
I just fucked that up bad. Sorry.
called Mighty Gunvolt. Now, Mighty Gunvolt was fucking huge, apparently, as far as, like, downloadable stuff goes. And I find that funny that the $3 downloadable title did better than what should have been a huge, like, multi-platform, like, hit. Which, I don't know, it could just be me. I'm a little bummed out about this whole thing, but... And I also fucked up. Good for us! We are...
Yeah, we're...
left and right.
Should maybe... Oh, no. All right.
I might be able to salvage it if it comes down to it, but let's focus here for a second, guys. This is what gets interesting now because we got to talk Pad and Stone Age Gamer at the same time. So I'm gonna fill while Dan tries to concentrate a little bit.
Let's see. Nah, I don't think that did it. Son of a bitch. Oh, we're dead, Dean.
No, we're not.
I don't know.
I'm gonna salvage.
All right.
Let's see what I can do.
This is very difficult to do these dungeons and.
And talk at the same
fucking
time.
Fucking talk about Mighty No. 9.
But
now,
go
to
ahead.
Be fair, like I said, I haven't played this game yet. I didn't back it. You know, I do want to still play it, but I'm kind of glad that I didn't jump right on it.
Right.
So, I mean, it makes me sad that it's getting very nice, Dean.
Thank you.
It makes me sad that it's getting crushed as hard as it is. And maybe a lot of it has to do with people just being disappointed.
You know what? There's a lot of hype for the game, and it's understandable because this is, I'd say, probably one of the first, again, one of the first big Kickstarter games that came out, and it was promised by a major figure in the industry, which is, again, another big deal. You know, not everyone, like... You get a lot of small companies saying, like, oh, we're going to make this cool game with crazy shit on it and whatnot. Like that VR game we talked about a while back that was for the iPhone or whatever. Like, all right, that's cool and all. Is it going to happen? Probably not because they're shooting for the sky. But when someone like Keiji Inafune gives you a promise like that, You tend to believe that it could happen, that, you know, you want to believe that it could happen. So it's upsetting. You know, is it surprising? Not really. You know, I guess I'm not surprised because it was so long, too. This thing, like, went into development hell and stuff for a while. Like, it's been 3 years, I think, since this game came out or since this game was announced and successfully kickstarted. But we have had good things come out of Kickstarter, too. I'm trying to think of one off the top of my head.
Well, I mean, I'm going to preemptively say that Psychonauts 2 being crowdfunded is an amazing thing because I have the utmost faith, even after playing Brutal Legend, I have the utmost faith in Tim Schafer to deliver a fucking stellar game.
And
I know some people liked Brutal Legend.
Well, I was going to say Brutal Legend was a great idea, but just I think... Maybe bad execution. I don't know. I mean, that I'm kind of talking out of my ass because I didn't really play the game for that long.
No, we're dead.
So, are we? You think so?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That wasn't good.
This is tough. All right, I'll tell you good. What. I'll switch and I'll use some of my stamina, some of my staminers. Okay. Oh wait, no, I forgot. That's not the way it works. Oh well. Well,
it's
all
right.
I got
it's
some.
Okay.
I got some stones anyway. Do you want to make it again then, or?
Yeah, I'll make it. Okay, it's fine. So yeah, I mean, I have. Let's see what else we can do here. Let's see. Let's. You know, let's give that one more shot.
All right, okay, I'm down. I'm down to clown. All right, so Mighty Number 9, big upset. You know, let's hope for better things in the future. But you know, you never know what's really gonna happen. To be honest, it could go either way. But on to other news. Let's talk a little bit about E3 stuff for a few minutes because you were not here when we talked about it
last
week. So, yeah. Let's talk a little bit about that.
I got the God of War prediction correct.
You did get a God of War prediction correct.
Holy shit, does that look good.
Yeah,
it
certainly does. I have to agree with you there. So, did
like
you...
Putting Kratos in that world, giving him a story that hopefully will successfully translate him into Norse mythology... I'm really excited that it's Norse mythology. There were some interviews that came out where Corey Balrog said the other major consideration was Egyptian mythology, which would have been really badass too. But putting him in Norse mythology, getting to possibly fight Thor and Loki and shit, like, I'm fucking excited for it.
It's a really cool idea. You know what? I got another team. Do you want me to try the other team? Where is it? Where is that other team? Where did I put the other team?
I don't know.
Oh, Dan, I can't find it. I can't. Where did I put it? Ah, it's this one. Do you want me to use this one instead?
Let's give it a shot. Who knows?
Okay.
We'll see.
All right. So yeah, you got that was your big prediction that you got right. Mine was the Xbox one was they were hyping their cross platform play, cross compatibility play, I guess you'd call it.
With PC, right?
Right. And they were pushing on that hard. That was their big to do this year, I guess. Which I'm not really surprised about because I did watch them at a bunch of other conferences and stuff, and it seemed like they were leaning in that direction anyway. But
it's such a good plan for them. It would be such a good plan for Sony too. I mean, to be able to tap into that market as well, that's huge, man.
Yeah,
I
got
mean,
really
there's,
excited.
There's so much.
Yeah, I got really excited a few years ago when they were not a few years ago, actually, a few months ago when this started becoming a thing with Sony. God damn it, with Sony and Xbox in talks to try and get their games cross compatible with each other, which I thought was really neat.
Yeah, it really would have been, and I mean it could have been huge. Probably should have been huge. You know, had it happened, but. I understand why it didn't. You
well,
know, you're not
I think
get Sony and Microsoft working together too often.
I think things are still on the table. Like, I don't think it's out of the question that that won't happen. But you're right. It's pretty unlikely that it would anytime soon. I guess, which makes me sad. But I mean, you know, here's the hoping. God damn it! Stop, game. Oh, this is difficult, Dan. This is so difficult.
It's very hard to play this game and talk at the same time. So. Let's see if we can stop shitting the bed here a little bit.
Yeah, just a tiny bit. Okay. So Chris also got a bunch of things right with his Nintendo stuff, which is not surprising because he has his ear to the ground when it comes to everything Nintendo. I guess was there anything that you would have hoped to see, like even just as a something that you forgot about that maybe came up during this week that you would have wanted to see there?
Now, there was really nothing that I expected to happen. I mean, I would have loved to see Guacamelee 2. I would have loved to see some more Psychonauts 2 stuff. I wanted more about God of War. Like, after that hit, I was like, all right, well, this is the only thing I want to know about. Like, it just kind of dominated my thought process kind of going forward.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I mean, I saw a lot of the God of War stuff, and I was pretty impressed by that. So if you had to rate any of the people, or not people, the companies that were at E3, like, what sort of rankings would you put them in?
I think Sony took the show.
Okay.
I think they showed enough stuff and enough of a variety of stuff to take the show. Some of the VR stuff that they showed was really cool.
Okay.
The temptation to play the new Resident Evil in virtual reality seems really fucking cool. Like, did you play that demo?
No, I haven't, but people have been telling me, holy shit, it's amazeballs.
It's really, really fucking cool.
Yeah?
I really liked it, which is saying something, because I haven't liked much from the world of Resident Evil in quite some time. So, I mean, I'm fully on board with it. That, get him? All right, now they're just going to charge up, so you have to kill them here, though.
They're going to turn all the way up.
Yep.
Okay, I got this.
After that, I think Microsoft had a solid show, but I would have to dock them a couple points for getting people hyped up about a new 360 model, and then also being like, yeah, but like next year we're going to drop the Scorpio too. So it's like, okay, well, then why do I care about this, you know?
No, I totally understand, because, you know, if you're going to push something like this Xbox iteration, then why would you even sniff at saying that you had another console on the way? Because now, why would anyone want to buy this upgraded version? You're basically making, like, something that you already know is going to be obsolete in what, a year or 2 years?
Pretty much.
So,
all right, so this was my desperate attempt to kill this thing that almost killed us.
It's time 18, so I would hope so. Let's
11 combos at times 18, over 3 million damage. Yeah. Okay. Full health. We're good.
Yay! Okay.
This is where we made it to last time.
Yes. Yes. So you were not impressed by the Wii stuff, then, I take it.
Zelda looks really awesome, but I didn't love Skyrim, so I don't know how much I'm into this.
Okay.
I mean, it looks great, but I still have some concerns. I don't think it was enough to be their only thing on the show floor.
Yep.
Or, you know, the only big thing that they showed. I don't think it was enough, honestly.
Okay. That's understandable. I saw a bunch of the I think it was EA. They had a bunch of stuff on the floor. They were doing a bunch of Battlefield 1 crap, I think. Is that what it's called? Battlefield 1?
Yeah.
And they got to stop, man. They really need to take a step back, take a deep breath, and, like, realize that, you know, these shooters aren't their bread and butter anymore. There's other stuff out there that can do the same thing better now, I think. Anyway, in my opinion.
Well, and, I mean, not for nothing, I was also pretty hyped on the fucking Call of Duty in Space trailer. Like, I know we haven't talked
You don't want to jump on the bandwagon about the Call of Duty in Space trailer?
I think it looked fucking fun, man. Like, bouncing around with the grappling hook from, like, fucking place to place and bouncing around in zero gravity. I don't know. Call of Duty's fucking stupid. It's not realistic, so...
I totally understand. I totally understand. Like, there were people making up... Not making up. They were making these montages of Call of Duty, what it was, like, for Modern Warfare 4, and then going up through Black Ops and all that stuff. And then they showed the new one with, like, you know, they have customizable, like, dances and stuff and everything. People are like, that's not shooters. That's not real. And I'm like, okay, firstly, it's not real, because if it was real, you'd get shot once and you'd die. Like, of course it's not real. Like, real's not fun. Real sucks. That's why it's a video game. But, I mean, more to the point, I think people are upset that it's turning into something closer to Halo or Overwatch, which, all right, I kind of get, you know, it's whatever, but that is what Activision sees as making money. So why wouldn't they try and do something like that, you know?
Yeah, I don't disagree, man. I think it looked fun. I also was really, really excited about all the stuff they showed for LEGO Dimensions. The Harry Potter stuff, fucking Sonic looked cool. The fucking Goonies, like, are you serious? The Goonies are in LEGO Dimensions?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
No, yeah, I did see a bit of that, which was really cool because I don't think the Goonies have really, really been in anything all that recently. But you know, you got a universal license, and I don't mean a universal as in anything license. I mean a universal as in the movie company license, and that opens up a lot of possibilities, man. You know, the movie monsters are coming out soon, right?
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. I mean that's really cool too. You got like fucking all these crazy guys coming out, and that is very unique. I guess Disney sort of had something else like that going with Infinity, where, you know, they were mixing universes together. You had like Toy Story, fucking Cars. You had Star Wars in there. You did have Marvel stuff in that, right?
In Disney Infinity, yeah.
Yes.
And I think at Infinity 2.0, they started with the Marvel stuff, and then 3.0, they started with Star Wars, or it was the other way around. Either way, they're both gone now. So
right, because they said it wasn't making them money, which, I mean, we've talked about it. Wow, that hurt. the figures that they had for these games were very detailed, probably better than any of the other ones in recent memory, compared to Skylanders, compared to Amiibos, compared to all that stuff. Most people would say far and wide that the Disney Infinity figures were probably some of the best ones, which goes to say, you know, how much money did they put into making these figures, which might have been their downfall. Dan, great job.
Right.
I love you.
I'm trying.
Oh, we're to the boss. Oh, God. Oh, he's
yeah.
scary, Dan. He's scary.
But he doesn't attack for 3 turns, so use Bastet's active.
I'm scared.
And then if you can match 4 reds and 4 greens, that will go a long way to helping us.
I see 4 purples, and I see the reds. The greens might
take
them.
You got reds, you got greens.
I'm so scared. I'm so scared. Okay, all right, hang on.
There you go. Yep, that's a good start.
Dan, I did a thing. It didn't do anything.
It didn't do anything. Fuck. All right.
Oh,
let's see
scared.
Here.
Okay, so.
All right. Hold on.
No, I got you.
I, however, cannot talk for a second.
No, that's fine. That's
be able
fine.
To do this right.
What we were getting at is, you know, it sucks that Infinity has kind of gone out on this. But then you have something like Lego, which, I mean, we all know Lego. Lego is something that's been around for I'm going to say eons, because it basically has. It's been around since before I was a kid. Dan, I'm sure it was around when you were a kid. Dan,
there we go.
That's beautiful. It's dead now. I'm happy. you know, so I mean, did you have any of the other ones now that we're kind of on the subject of like Disney Infinity and Lego and stuff?
Did I have like
the
Skylanders?
Yeah,
or the
Skylanders.
Infinity stuff?
Yeah, because I mean, you have kids and everything, so I'm curious.
No, like there when the Infinity stuff started coming out, and let's take a break here for a second.
Sure.
So I can.
Yeah,
I got
a
conversation.
Fuse. Yeah, I got a fuse and stuff anyway. So go ahead.
When the Infinity stuff came out and the Skylanders stuff came out. My kids are into the toys.
Right.
Like, they want the toys, but they don't really care about the game. And I told them, I was like, well, we're not going to buy these toys and not have the game. So if you don't want to play the game, like, we can look at the toys when we go to Target or whatever, but we're not going to get them. And because they're gaming, they do a lot of different games on their iPads.
Okay.
Right now.
Yeah.
They really do like playing the Lego games. Like, we'll just sit down and I'll pop in the Lego Marvel game or the Lego Dimensions. I just bought, PlayStation had a sale last week during E3, so I think I picked up Lego Batman 3
right.
for like $5.
Okay.
Like, You know, so we'll jump in and we'll play those. They really like playing Minecraft a lot too, so like we'll play that together. But the only one of those of the three properties that they got into so far was the Lego Dimensions, because I don't know, the gameplay in Skylanders and Infinity didn't look all that exciting to me. So okay, maybe because I didn't hype it up as much to them, they didn't get into it. But like, they're super excited for the toys, you know.
You're your children's hype man.
I certainly am. You know, like, Penny loves Shinsuke Nakamura, not because she has any right to love Shinsuke Nakamura, but because her daddy loves Shinsuke Nakamura. She sings the song and does the fucking hand signs and does the Nakamura clap, 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 clap when he comes out and shit. And Katie doesn't
as
like
long as she's not giving you
much
the Kinshasa,
red.
So what? Well, dude, no, that's,
no
that's
Kinshasa.
Amazing, yeah. He needs more red, actually. To be honest, when I think about it,
I showed them the Lego Dimensions trailer, and we're just now starting to get into Harry Potter, so they were super excited to see Harry Potter in there. They were super excited for the Teen Titans Go, like when Beast Boy showed up. They were really hyped on that. They were really hyped on Adventure Time. And then when Sonic popped up at the end, they were like, oh my God, Sonic's in Lego? Like, they lost their shit. So, I mean, that game, goddamn, that game's got everything, dude. Like, it's got everything for everybody. You know, Tiffany and I are sitting here. We're super hyped that the A-Team and the Goonies and Harry Potter are in there. The kids are excited for Teen Titans and Adventure Time.
Right.
I mean, it's just, I don't know. That might have been the best thing I saw, like, outside of God of War. The Lego Dimensions trailer was incredible.
Yeah, to be honest, like, I've been sort of out of the E3 loop for a while. I mean, obviously, we do our predictions and stuff, and I have a great time doing that. But I got to say that this is, like, the last few years, I've just been kind of out of it because, you know, it doesn't have the same flair anymore that it used to, which is I guess understandable because there's so many smaller conventions that happen where people unveil stuff now, you know.
Well, yeah, Nintendo's got their Treehouse stuff. The Game Developers Conference is coming out. There's the Eurogamer stuff. There's PAX. Sony has their own show. I mean, there's so many different times throughout the year that this stuff comes out and that they drop big video game news that, you know, E3 just, it doesn't have the luster that it used to have, but I still get excited for it, you know?
I'm excited that it's still around. That's about it.
What were your thoughts on Crash, on Crash Bandicoot coming back? Because that was like, you're a little younger than I am, so that was more your generation. Like, I don't give a shit, but...
So... When Crash Bandicoot was not the first game I got on the PlayStation. I believe when we were talking about Christmas gifts, we got into, you know, our first stuff, and I told you and Chris that mine was the PlayStation, and then I got Twisted Metal 2 and NFL Game Day 98, I believe.
Yeah,
I think. And I didn't get Crash till way later down the line, like I'd say at least 2 years, and it was Crash 3 Warped, which people didn't really like so much. It wasn't the console seller that was, you know, Crash 1 or Crash 2 or, you know, Tomb Raider or anything like that. So, I don't know. I'm happy it's a thing because Crash Bandicoot as a character has more charisma to me than a lot of the other mascots. I think more than Sonic, more than Mario. But he fell to the wayside because PlayStation was a brand that didn't need a mascot. It had so many hit games. Why focus your company on one sole figure to be the mascot for it when you could say, you know, we got Final Fantasy on our system. Does N64 have that? No. We got Twisted Metal. Does N64 have that? No. So, you know, like a Tomb Raider, fucking Symphony of the Night. Exactly. Like,
Her Guys?
Yeah.
Bushido Blade or whatever the fuck that game was.
Right. So.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. They like they had mascot characters, but they didn't need the mascots.
No, absolutely not.
Because you had Spyro, you had Crash, and fuck, I would have loved to see a new Medieval while we're talking about shit we would have liked to see. But you had Medieval on there. So they had all this stuff in place without necessarily needing, you know, that like the definitive, this guy is our mascot character.
Right. You know, and like, even if people want to argue, oh, like he's the cartoony one or everything, you had fucking Rayman on the PlayStation. Yeah,
Rayman
as well,
was PlayStation mostly for a while. Like, I believe there were some N64 Rayman games, but
there might have. I'm not 100% sure now. But, you know, you also had something like Gex as well. Like,
yeah.
Even though, like, I'm pretty sure most kids won't remember Gex anymore because
they probably shouldn't.
Like, who the fuck is Gex? But I remember him. I don't know if it's lovingly, but I definitely remember him. How did you feel about it?
I am excited that it is happening for people.
But it doesn't particularly interest you.
It doesn't thrill me, but I'm not the only person who plays video games. I know that. So, you know, God damn it.
You're not?
No, surprisingly enough, the world does not revolve around me. The sun does not shine only out of my ass. So,
you know what? I could have sworn it did, Dan.
I'm really excited that it's happening. What I'm more excited about, I think, is it showing Activision having a willingness to work with another publisher and another company to maybe get, I don't know what else they even have that I would want them to make, but just showing that there's a willingness to work with companies to bring these mascot characters back, some of them that have been sold off or franchises that have kind of gone the wayside. I don't know. Hopefully this opens the doors to getting some more things. Because, God damn it, I want people to have another Spyro game if that's what they want. You know, it's... I know how excited I would be if certain things came back. Like, if somehow Nintendo were able to work with Rare and bring back, like, RC Pro-Am, I would fucking flip my shit for that. You know what I mean?
I totally understand, man. You know, there's
which is never going to happen.
Yeah,
but
there's always going to be those games that we want to happen that we probably won't see in our lifetime anyway, I don't think. I who knows?
But there's hope.
Yeah, no, there is hope. There definitely is hope.
If it sells. If it doesn't sell, then, you know.
Fuck it.
And I'm not going to buy it, so it's not going to sell for me.
Totally understandable. Yeah, I mean, I got to see more before, you know,
damn,
I can honestly make a
that
decision.
That was not good.
No.
I didn't do anything there, but.
There's stuff going on now, maybe. I don't know. I might fuck this up because, you know, I'm me. I like doing fucked up things. Anyway, so I get it. That's cool. You're not into what Crash might be or whatever. I'm particularly not exactly all that enthused about it, but I'm interested to see where it goes or what happens or, you know, whatever. But
what was the thing that you were most excited about from the show? Is this a tough question? I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, now that I'm thinking about it, well, honestly, I keep looking back and forth at the game that we're playing at the same time while talking, and you know what? If I
should have focused on the fucking one that was going to attack soon.
It's fine.
Try and heal us up here if you can a little bit.
I can actually do that, so let me make my magic happen here, and then I'll go back to...
You don't even need to pop an active for this.
Well,
you did, so fuck it.
I'm sorry. He'll be back in a little bit. Don't worry about it.
It's okay. Just match some heart orbs.
Yeah, look, that's a 9X for one guy. But look, we got all that health back.
That's good. I'm excited about it. Is this... Because I'm not watching the stream because I'm a bad co-host, yeah. I suppose. Is this streaming as we're playing this?
Yes, it is.
Okay, that's very exciting.
I don't know if anyone's... Final Fantasy 15 VR experience, my waifu, Matt says. I actually wasn't... I saw some stuff about that, and I was like, that's cool. Wow, that hurt.
Yeah, that's all right. I'll fix it on the next turn if you don't kill him here.
He'll be dead. He will be dead. I'm gonna hurt him now, Dan. I'm gonna hurt him for the both of us.
I hope you do.
Maybe. I don't know. Let's see. Three. Nope. He's not gonna be that hurt.
No. That's okay.
I hate this guy. God, this is so hard.
The defense is so high.
Oh, Jesus. All right. So I guess if I was really excited for anything, I would say they did show off some ukulele stuff, I believe.
Did they see that? I didn't see because, again, that's not not really for me.
Oh, I mean, Banjo-Kazooie was my jam growing up. So something like ukulele.
Oh,
really.
Shit, I only got four on that one. Sorry. We're dead.
Are we? Yeah, he killed us. He murdered us.
All right, shit. I can't play this game and talk at the same time.
It's difficult.
It is. Fuck. I don't want to use a stone on it.
No, it's fine. So
that was my bad.
No, it's cool. So let's take a break from that because we're heading into the 40-minute mark. So I guess we'll. Nah, man. It looks like hot garbage, and the critics agree. But I love that lady. For the Final Fantasy stuff. No, that's cool. I mean, I'm hoping Final Fantasy 15 is a very good game, but I cannot put any faith or credence in it because it's taken so long to come out.
Yeah.
But, you never know, man.
I don't know. Like, again, I don't think that was the VR system seller. Like, that was one of my predictions, that we would see the thing that would be, like, okay, fuck, I get it. This is why we all need to get VR now. And I don't think they showed that thing. I think they're getting closer to it. I think the price point for it is pretty good. Like, $400 isn't exactly chump change, but it's not crazy.
Well, for a system that, you know, comes with everything that you need out of the box to play it, that's very reasonable. Because compared to the Oculus, which is the PC version, you need a lot of money to get that thing to run, and it's not, I don't want to say it's not fair because you don't need it to do anything really, but it's for people who want to experience it, it's not possible. That's just not going to fucking happen.
Right. I think the price point's good. I think the Resident Evil thing, you know, like I said, I think that'll be cool. Cause the demo was fun.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't very Resident Evil. Like, I think maybe they should have called it something else.
Oh, what'd you think of the Norman Reedus thing that they got going on?
Oh, the fucking the Kojima thing.
Yeah, that.
Or the Kojima thing. That was really interesting, but I have no idea what the fuck it's going to be about.
Yeah, it was weird. There was, like, dead fetuses or something.
Yeah.
Something weird.
I mean... It's a weird title. But I expected that from Kojima, you know. So, it's a new Hideo Kojima game. Like, I'm excited about it. They didn't show me anything at E3 to get me more hyped than I already was. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I feel you.
My hype level for that game is already pretty fucking sky high.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it looked gorgeous. If it looks half as good as that. I mean, who doesn't love naked Norman Reedus?
No one.
No one in their right mind should not love it.
Yeah, I think the only person might be Mussolini, and he's dead, so we don't have to worry about that.
He's a fucking prick anyway.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, you know.
I mean, fuck him, really, if he can't take a joke.
Seriously, like, no, I wholeheartedly agree there. So we don't have a script tonight, so I'm going to say, announcer guy, take it away.
Thanks, Dean. First up, Geekade's going to too many games this weekend, June 24th through the 26th. One of the biggest video game conventions on the East Coast, TMG has an endless bounty of games, music, and fun. What fun am I talking about? Well, the Stone Age Gamer Podcast's panel on Saturday night is certainly a good start. If you're in the Philadelphia area and you're looking for something cool to do this weekend, head over to TooManyGames.com and buy your tickets today. Next up, Hunter Wilde has been a busy man. What with his weekly Game of Thrones recap, but he can always find time for alcohol, and that's exactly what he did when he donned his imbibing scribe hat this month. It seems that he had a particularly daunting brew to discuss this time, though, as his beer of choice this time around was not something he expected to enjoy very much. Was he dead on the money, or pleasantly surprised? Find out in the Imbibing Scribe, Nargisent presents Del's Shandy. Chris does a lot of things, and this week, watching and talking about an episode of The Twilight Zone was one of them. submitted for your approval, was kind enough to ask him to join this week to talk about another excellent episode of one of the coolest television shows of all time. Don't miss Submitted for Your Approval, episode 24, Long Live Walter Jameson. And finally, we over at this week's episode talk television, and this week is no different. We talk everything from Orphan Black, Voltron, Lady Dynamite, and the amazingness that was the penultimate episode of Game of Thrones. Head on over to Geekade.com and check out this week's episode, episode 39, Have You Met Our Giant? You can catch all this great stuff, plus tons of other articles, videos, podcasts, and more right now at Geekade.com. Back to you, Dean.
Thanks, announcer guy. You're the best.
Do we have an announcer guy on the show?
Or are we
just going to pre-record Chris talking about some shit?
It might be all of us. I don't know. Maybe we'll figure it out tomorrow. Oh, it's his birthday. Oh, by the way, if you'd like to say happy birthday to Chris, even if it's a belated one, by the time you guys get this, it will be belated. You can always shoot a message at Geekade Chris and give him a happy birthday. He'll definitely appreciate it. We love the guy to death, and we wish him all the best on his birthday. That was nice, right?
Yeah, whatever. Nice. Oh, fuck him. No, I'm just kidding. Happy birthday, Chris. Nintendo sucks, and no, we won't do that. I was just trying to see if there was any news we should talk about. I couldn't remember. I thought maybe there was something we should talk about, but there's a headline up on Kotaku right now that says Mighty No. 9 tries real hard.
But no, I saw that. I was really fucking...
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's
God
harsh stuff.
Damn it.
Like, you know... I thought people might be... Oh, you know what? All right, I got one. So a little while ago, we were talking about the... God, what was it? Hyperkin. Hyperkin for April Fool's Day.
Oh, yeah, the Game Boy thing.
Right, and now they're actually... They showed it at E3.
Yeah, I am... it's the dumbest thing ever. It's so fucking stupid, and I love everything about it. I absolutely adore that thing exists.
I hope it works. It was absolutely working 100% for Android, which makes sense because Android's a lot easier to get that stuff onto. For people who don't know, Apple has very strict policies about this type of stuff getting onto their phones. I mean, just for that Puzzles and Dragons YouTube video we did, Dan had to sideload a screen capture program onto his phone. And for side capture, that's not legal. So
sideloading is legal, but Apple, if it fucks up your shit,
they don't want anything.
They
to
will
do with
not
it.
Fix it. You will walk in and they will kick you in the box.
Wow, square in the box. That sounds painful.
Like, and it's so ridiculous that I can't screen cap my own phone, but I'm not switching to Android. I'm not a heathen.
No, yeah, I mean, neither am I. Like, I'm a very upscale gentleman, and I like my iPhone 6.
Look at that hat.
You're right. Actually, this is because of Sami Zayn, so, I mean, let's be real.
Oh, fair enough.
Let's be real. Fair enough. My hero.
That's okay.
The man that'll never win a championship in the WWE, but it's okay. It's all right.
Oh, are you kidding? His WrestleMania moment is going to be fucking huge.
You think so? I mean, we can talk about this after. Let's not do this here.
No, right now, prediction, in 2 years,
okay,
WrestleMania main event, WrestleMania, it'll be 35?
35.
Sami Zayn beats Kevin Owens for the heavyweight championship.
Nothing would make me happier. Literally nothing would make me happier.
And then Shinsuke Nakamura immediately cashes in Money in the Bank and takes it from him. With Corey Graves yelling fucking Kinshasa in the background.
Oh,
it'd be amazing.
God. Okay. All right. No more wrestling stuff. Chris will get mad if we get too far off topic.
I know.
But
yeah, you should wrap this up. We're going to start rambling.
Yeah. Okay. So, guys, we appreciate it. We're going to make this a little bit shorter than normal. Chris normally makes about an hour. We're about at 50 minutes, so I don't think 10 minutes is really going to make all that much of a difference. Guys, remember, if you like the stuff that we do, remember to subscribe to us on iTunes or the Amazon podcast or Stitcher. We're on all that stuff now. You can just look up any of the podcasts that we have on there, whether it be Stone Age Gamer, Paper Cuts, Apathetic Enthusiasm, any of the things we have, you name it, it's on that stuff. Remember, if you like us a lot, remember to give us a 5-star rating or review, because it definitely helps get us up the charts and helps get our our brand out there, which is what we're really trying to do. If you want to get in touch with Geekade in general, you can find us on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, all that stuff, under just Geekade, most likely. The only one that's different is Twitter. It's at @_Geekade. Now, if you want to reach us individually, we are on Twitter, and we will respond to messages, just no dick pics. Maybe Dan, I don't know. Anyway.
No, I'll respond to him.
Okay.
If you're going to go so far as to send one.
If you put the thought into it. So Dan, where can you be reached on Twitter?
At Geekade Dan.
I can be reached at @Komodo_Vestlord, and Dan just already said that. And Chris can be reached at Geekade Chris. And remember, wish him a happy birthday, because that means a lot to him, and he loves you guys. So you should tell him happy birthday. Besides that...
Also, donate to us so we don't get fucking killed on Puzzle and Dragons so much.
Yeah,
we need better teams.
Yeah, this hurt. Also, guys, like, if you do donate to us, obviously, it'll go towards, getting us on to shows, upgrading our equipment and everything, and paying for the website, because that all comes out of
our
pocket.
Let's be honest.
Yeah, just evolving monsters. No, but seriously, it all goes back towards the website in some way, shape, or form, which certainly does help us in the long run. But it's absolutely optional. Once again, we'll be back next week with more gaming goodness. Probably less Puzzles and Dragons, though, and more Chris Randazzo, because he'll be back. Also, we will be at Too Many Games this weekend, June 24th to the 26th. If you're going to be there, take a look out for us. I'll be wearing this fancy-ass hat with my sexy vest. Dan will be sporting a red beard, and Chris will be Chris. You can't miss him because he's Chris. Until next time, guys, I'm Dean DeFalco, that's Dan Ryan, and somewhere around the world is Chris Randazzo. Keep playing games.
Later.